David Bowie there on KPTZ. This is 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. I'm Taylor Clark, and I am here with John Morrow, my co-host for Bureaucracy Now!, which happens every Thursday at 12:30. And we are going to be talking about Port Townsend and the city and what you guys are up to over there. And welcome, John.
Thank you, Taylor. Good to see you as always, and good to be here.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to hear that once again. I was hoping we would get Pamela Martinez, your new people and performance director. Yeah. But once again, I hope she doesn't have COVID, man.
Yeah, well, I can't disclose the health status of my team.
Good,
but
don't.
Sometimes people are under the weather, and it's the case here. But we'll get Pamela on. She's a lot of fun. I don't want to, pump my chest too much here, but a really great hire. We're lucky to have her in the role, and has already hit the ground running and do a lot of work.
And that's such an important position too, because it's the thing that leverages all the other hires that you have to do.
Yeah. Okay. Especially now, if you're in the HR field, you realize, holy moly, it's an unusual time, and those skills are very needed. So we're lucky to have Pamela. I think next week, just to shout out our planning here, we're going to be joined by Emily. I believe Emily at the library is going to be joining us.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
So we'll have a little bit of some talk about the summer reading and all the libraries program. So Emily Buford, pretty new hire herself, will be joining us.
Okay, well, we're going to have to make it up about what we're going to discuss today.
I've got some breaking news. I can start with that.
Oh God, I love your breaking news. Did you sign the water agreement with the mill?
Oh no, that. I guess that's still news. Maybe, I don't know. It's still in effect.
It's the last time you did breaking news with me.
Oh really? Oh
yeah.
Fun.
Well, I was so excited about that. So, what's the breaking news today?
Well, the breaking news today is also. I mean, I don't want to steal Pam's thunder, but. We've made a selection of our next planning and community development director.
Oh, that is good news.
Yeah, it's really good news. And I'm super excited to welcome Emma Bolin into the role. I for a number of reasons, I can talk the entire time about the process, the number of hour conversations and interviews I had with Emma, the community panel that provided some pretty deep insights for me to help follow up on, the staff panel, the director panel, the whole process was non-traditional given COVID and also given the fact we had to, a lot of our candidates had multiple offers on the table, but we're really glad to have Emma. And I'll just say she'll be on the show undoubtedly.
Yeah.
She starts June 27th and she's coming most recently where she's still working at this hour from Port Angeles, where she's the interim planning director there. But she served in roles in Jefferson County, including with the county. In a planning capacity. So she's
familiar with the area.
She's very familiar. I was talking with her about Evans Vista, one of the kind of blank canvas opportunities for the role. And she knew exactly where I was talking about, exactly in the roundabout, which side, which property. She knew about the Rainier sub area plan. I'm just really thrilled to have someone who's got real technical caliber, knows the community, and has a lot of energy for collaboration. So I'm excited to have Emma on the show at some point. Today's the day people get to know who she is, who that hire is.
That is great news. So you said she starts the 27th, is that?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, I got that date. Okay, well, I look forward to having her on the show and having her join the Port Townsend team.
Yes.
That's great breaking news. As I was driving up, I went by Taylor and F. I can't remember. You got something new? No, Blaine Street.
Yeah, I was out there today. Actually, I couldn't get there when the team was installing the Edge Lane Road, but I went up for an inspection yesterday afternoon and then back there today. Just have a look to see how cars were using it. I don't often get out of the office. We were supposed to have the power shut off here at City Hall, so I had all these plans to meet people for coffee and go out and do some, some look around the community, and then the power wasn't shut off, so I only did that briefly.
no excuse to get out of the building. Could you describe what this project? Because this is not a project I was familiar with, and I think probably what I get the impression is the general public. It's like, well, what the heck are you guys doing here? Sort of like the roundabouts on Jefferson Street,
Oh, totally. You know, we just try to do projects just to confuse people. That's kind of, you know, the main driver. No, I'm
no,
just
no. But it is this are we it's have to do with because that's a great bike route. It's a level way up the hill.
Okay, so let me just be clear. This is a pilot. This is a demonstration program. It's
okay.
Not forever, but we really want to, you know, see does this work, because it's worked in other communities where we're calling them edge lane roads. I think other communities call them the same thing. Sometimes they call them advisory bike lanes. But, you know, just between Tyler and Adam Streets on Blaine Street, there'll be a demonstration. You can go check it out. Anybody listening, go have a walk, a bike ride, a drive, whatever it is through there. We were looking at data from 11 cities across the United States over the past 8 years. And when people installed, when cities installed edge lane roads, they saw collectively a 44% reduction in crashes.
Oh, well, that, mm-hmm.
So that caught our attention. Okay, we want safer streets. And it also has a couple other extra benefits, at least in these studies. One is it reduces speeds, which is, you know, not a huge issue on all of our streets in Port Townsend, because some of them are in such poor condition you can't go fast on them. But, you know, still a concern. You know, if you hit a pedestrian at 20, 25, the chances of survival are in the positive. If you hit them at 35, the chances are actually greater that they will die. Huh. So speed matters on our streets. And then if you think about pavement life, especially on the edges of streets, and you think about how we, do a little bit more with less, basically what we're doing is we're testing a striping down the center of the street, and then the outside of those hash marks that are white on the sides of Blaine Street.
They're white dash. Well, we've like, they just described for
yeah,
well, we want people. I'd like, hey, go look. But yeah, what yeah. I saw, and you know, in the moment that I was looking to the side as I went speeding by at 35 miles an hour, kidding.
It hurts.
No, they're white dash lines, and they're down sort of you've left one lane in the middle, but you have the dash lines to designate that the cars should use the middle of the road, leaving the sides available for bicycles and walking. Is that the
yeah.
idea?
That's the objective. And actually, I don't know if they're high school students, but a number of people out there this morning walking down the sides of Plain Street. And I just thought, how cool. Maybe they're having a look themselves. But the idea is it's a visual cue that bikes and pedestrians belong in the streetscape.
Yes.
And if cars are coming in opposing directions toward each other on Blaine Street, well, the actual sign says vehicles share the center lane. So you yield the peds and bikes, and you either wait for the other vehicle to come through, or you proceed if they're letting you through. And bikes and pedestrians have a little bit more, feeling of safety there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll be honest, a lot of people in Port Townsend do that already. And
yes.
I'm really grateful, myself included, when I'm driving. If I see a bike or a pedestrian, I will yield and make sure that I either have space or let another car come before I go around. That's people's behavior, but, you know, demographics are changing. We're getting, you know, new folks in town. We want to be really clear how we can use the roads and how we can share the roads. And this is an experiment to see if this enhances that environment.
Okay, so now far be it for me to lecture John Morrow, because I know you have a background in your more distant past of working for the Cascade Bicycle Club, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the argument that I read is that paint does not equal infrastructure. Have you? And the gist of that argument is that we can't just stripe the side of the road and now designate the gutter as a bike route. That isn't really the same as building bicycle infrastructure. On the other hand, it's cheaper.
Taylor, you've got an excellent point, and I think it helps me think that you're absolutely correct. And I remember being on the sort of community side of this.
Right.
Advocate saying, hey, you can't just, I did this in Seattle. I was actually appointed to the mayor's bike advisory board before
right.
I stayed, and I worked, at other groups and then eventually for the city of Seattle. But I was always arguing, hey, you can't just stripe it, put a sharrow down, and then therefore it's suddenly safe for everybody.
Right. It still isn't safe. And even green bike boxes aren't necessarily, it's still, you know, it's really meant as a visual cue.
Yeah, so I think your point's an excellent one, but here's where I would say it's an and instead of a but, because I think you know, right now, if you took all the segments of streets that are like Blaine Street out of our 88 miles of street network, a high percentage are those roads that will not qualify for funding for, you know, state or federal resources.
Right, because they're residential roads.
And if we wanted to improve them to the capacity where they have a bike, you know, a cycle track or a trail or whatever it might be, even a sidewalk on some of those streets, it's going to cost millions and millions of dollars. If we're willing to pay that, let's have that conversation. But my guess is that when we see that overall bill across the entire street network, we're going to have to find more creative ways of building infrastructure. Now, will an advisory bike lane work down F? Absolutely not. That the volume on that street is not conducive to this kind of treatment. So that would be a very bad approach, which is why it's striped with bike lanes and actually crossing.
Right, right. F actually has a designated a striped bike lane that is it isn't advisory. It's, you know, cars are supposed to stay out of that, and there's room there to ride your bike up the side.
So again, we're trying again. You know,
different solutions for different roads.
There are, and two or three, and the different price points too.
Yeah.
Two or three weeks, I mean, those little stripes will actually fall off. I mean, this is a temporary attempt to see how does this work. We get tube counters there to measure traffic volume and speed. And you know, if it does work, and if we get comments back, so anybody who's paying attention, even if you hate them,
was going to be my next.
Please tell us what you think. There's a potential to roll out these ideas in other places if they are successful.
Okay. So where, by the way, I got some feedback, via dj@kptz.org. Okay. And I should mention that I'm watching that email dj@kptz.org. This is from Chris, and she says, great idea, John. So appreciate you as our city manager.
That's kind, Chris. For every Chris, there's probably a different opinion too, and that's fine. We want to hear it. I mean, honestly, you know, change is hard, and I guess with every issue, even a small amount of striping on two blocks of side road is hard. So we'll hear all perspectives. Our job is to take those perspectives, look at the data, and try to do the right thing for the whole community. So we want to hear everybody's voice.
Okay, so if I don't like this, I should just jump on, or if I do like this, I should just jump on Nextdoor. You'll see everything that's written there.
Taylor, you're helping me navigate my own talking points so well. Thank you. I keep missing points here. You can send an email to engagept.
Thank you.
cityofpt.us. That's an email address. You can also find it on our website. That's the best way to send your comments. Just let
engage
us know if they work, if you have ideas, that kind of thing.
All right, let's say that again. engagedpt@cityofpt.us.
That's correct. Those comments will be read by me and by the team. And a real shout out to Tyler Johnson, to Laura Parsons, to Steve King, to Brian Reed, to our whole team that actually makes this kind of thing happen.
Where did this idea come from? I mean, I don't mean generally in the world. I mean, who thought about doing this thing for this road in Port Townsend?
I will say that our team does a pretty good job tracking places around the world. And I think some of them found it funny that edge lane roads were trialed early on in the state of Maine. Mm-hmm. Very close to where I was born, and so they thought that was kind of funny. But honestly, they've got their finger on some of the pulse of best practice, and I don't know specifically who said, "Let's try this. What do you think?" I know that the team works pretty organically together, and they fire out ideas. And you know, if we're trying to balance a budget and keep it, you know, reasonable for the ratepayer, trying to enhance safety, try new things, make the road a shareable road.
It's a balance. Yeah.
It's a balance here. And this is one of those tools that might actually work. If it doesn't, we won't do it. But if it actually does prove to work and, has some degree of community support, I'd like to think about how we take a similar approach. And 44% reduction in crashes. That's pretty compelling.
And that's the argument against paint as infrastructure is that it doesn't actually change anything. That people, it gives people the impression they're safe when they're not actually safe, and yet we still have people getting hit. But if what you're telling me is that they've actually looked at this in other places where it's been tried and seen a positive net benefit, because Lord knows we don't want anybody else being hit on their bikes.
Well, absolutely. And I think, honestly, we're not interested in sort of polish here. I mean, people might be surprised to hear that from me here because, you know, I try to think about how I say things. But, we don't want to do tokenistic improvements to make it look like we're actually improving the street.
Mm-hmm.
this doesn't work, if this site actually crashes are the same and there's negligible benefit, we wouldn't even trial this. We only want to do things that improve the streetscape.
Okay. Let me just ask one more question. And I know this came up, I think maybe you and I discussed this having to do, or it had to do with how people navigate around the traffic circles on Washington, is it Washington or Jefferson? Washington Street.
Yeah, there's the mini roundabouts on Washington.
Yeah, those are what I'm talking about. And I believe you said, you know, if you're going to turn left, don't go around the roundabout, you know, turn short of the roundabout. And that kind of came as a surprise, at least to me, because people, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, that's how I use them. And now that makes it easier for me. So let me ask the same question on this. I'm coming across, and again, I don't remember the names of the streets. I'm new here. Tyler or Taylor. Did you say it's between Tyler and Adams?
Yeah, between Tyler and Adams.
All right. So I'm coming down Tyler and I turn left onto Blaine and I get two car lengths down only to realize that someone is coming up the street in the same block at the same time. Do I just kind of carefully edge to the side, making sure nobody's in the way, or, you know, what do I do?
Well, you just rev the engine, get all really, you know.
Yeah,
really
right.
I'm kidding. Well, that's not important.
You know, I drive a pretty intimidating car, John.
So do I. You know, I really have to say we want to keep going on our road safety and make it inclusive of everybody. But mm-hmm. I do have to appreciate, compared to other places I've lived, the level of manners and the very few number of incidents that I've had.
I agree.
And on a bike. Is, I think, a testimony to an ethic we have here to look out for each other. So I would apply that same logic to you're halfway down Blaine Street and you're staring down another car. Ideally, people say, oh, okay, let's just back off on the speed. Is there a bike or pedestrian in the edge lane road, you know, section that's striped? Well, no. Okay, I'll move over. I'll let the other one by. And you could, you know, no, after you, please. And you do that for a few minutes and then someone goes. If there is a bike or pedestrian, you do the same thing. You know,
sure.
That's who needs to use that space. And so you'd use either the center road or actually, you know, yield.
Okay.
In some places around the world, they take a very dramatic approach to this, where they actually remove markings altogether in places that sometimes have a lot of infrastructure or a lot of volume. They're called, I think, lovingly, woonerfs in places like the Netherlands, where it makes very little sense to an American traffic engineer. But if you remove some of the markings.
Oh, if you remove the center line, I've read this. If you remove the center line, then people are like, it's not as clear to them that they own that lane. And they will now drive with more care.
And I don't want to create confusion. I think that's why we want these advisory lines down Blaine Street to test, because I'm not a big fan of just removing everything. But to some degree, the lack of predictability slows people down. And you could design streets to not, I mean, you know, how many times do you see a street that says posted 25? And technically, you'd be very comfortable doing 55 down that street because there's no sight lines in the way.
Right.
It's designed at a very wide street. I mean, that's not where design meets the outcome.
Well, this is one of the main, I can't remember if it's not just bikes or strong towns, but the idea that roads have a design limit, which is the natural speed that you would drive on the road. And the important thing is to make sure that the posted limit and the design limit are the same.
Exactly. And I think that's the idea behind Water Street, just back to the mini traffic circles.
You removed the center lane there, didn't you?
Yeah, well, and you can go quite quickly with no obstructions on many roads. But the idea is those mini traffic circles, they're not going to change the volume of the street because it's actually a major thoroughfare, but it will change the speed. And we've actually found that when we do traffic counts, that it has diminished the speed. And that's why working with members of that community, we worked to build those traffic circles permanently after city council approval because they were shown to work.
Okay. I got another question for you, John.
A traffic one or a transportation one?
Well, it has to do with it's about communication. My question is, we've talked a couple times about Engage PT and that we can put things in there and that, you know, your staff reads them, that you read them, and I heard a story recently about someone who put something in, and damned if it didn't get acted on. And they were really like, well, this is great. I said, hey, we got a problem here, and the city actually did something. And
yeah,
I said,
a little bar there, but yeah, go ahead.
No, that isn't the, here's the question. The question is, I said, was it because of what you put in? And he said, I don't know. So the question is that if something goes in on Engage PT and you guys look at it and you say, you know, this makes sense and we'll put it on our list. I guess the question is, what kind of feedback can we expect?
Yeah, because I think it depends on the query because, you know, just so everyone knows, I say this kind of often, but, you know, we talked about this maybe last week, Taylor, but you can go on our website at cityofpt.us, and at the bottom, there's a button to report a concern.
That's where it went.
Yeah, so you could literally say, there is a dead deer, there is a water pipe, a sewer backup, there is a, you know, a sign missing, there is a whatever, pothole.
It was potholes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to guess.
You were going to guess potholes. Well, you filled some potholes, which is good.
Yeah, we get hundreds of those every month. We get hundreds of those requests. And if they are, hey, there's a water line bursting, you can be sure that that is a prioritized concern that we'll go and look at immediately. And that we look at that email address pretty constantly from Monday to Friday and working hours. Of course, there's an emergency line for anything that might be related to public safety and the police. You know, there's an after hours approach. But those I diligently, at the end of every month, after they're all compiled, I read through every one of those to get a sense of what people are concerned about. You know, it's part of my duty is to understand. Luckily, I've got a team that can respond without me saying, please go fill that pothole.
Right. I mean, because we shouldn't
know what the flavor is.
We shouldn't have to ask the city manager if we can fill an individual pothole. But I sort of I feel like there was a missed opportunity here to say thank you for your information. And we've put that on our schedule. Or, you know, because as I said, the potholes got filled and there was, you know, there was great joy.
Yeah. Well, so I think one of the things, we did a Facebook post about this recently and said, hey, just so you know, you could report a concern because that's an efficient way of doing it. You don't need to email the city manager. I mean, I'm always happy to hear from people, but then it goes from me to report a concern to staff.
Right.
Skip one of those pieces and just report a concern on the forum because it'll happen. Sometimes I say, I think in that Facebook post is something said of like, you know, it doesn't mean immediate action. It'll be prioritized.
Sure.
And sometimes with potholes, for us to actually go out and fill one pothole on one street and then do the next one the next day and all, that's not efficient.
Presumably you put a bunch of asphalt in a truck and you go and you spend a morning with a crew of two or three filling potholes, right?
We do it geographically. We try to limit the amount of travel time and all that kind of stuff. So we do some efficiency analysis on it, but you know, we also don't like let it hang for months.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, you know, let me also be clear. Filling a pothole isn't a systemic solution to the problem for roadways. You know, that we're not going to get anywhere by just filling our potholes. That's a temporary fix. But we will go out within a week or two and make sure it's done. And meanwhile, we can have a conversation as a community about if we and how we fund improvements to our streets.
Right. Then that's a bigger question. But
I guess I'm
going to ask my question one more time is if I report a concern, what sort of feedback can I expect to hear?
Yeah, so I was going to get to that. I think
sometimes
there's a, hey, thanks, got it. Sometimes there's a need for staff to get in touch with the concerned person.
Give us more information.
Tell me where it is. But frankly, they come in at such a high volume.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tame expectations that we have individual you know, responses to everybody who says, your pothole has been filled you know, at this hour. We won't be able to do that. But if it's not, report it again, because we will end up getting out there and doing it.
Okay, so I think what you said is that the volume of report of concern is high enough that we can't necessarily expect to hear back.
That's correct. So, but you can know for sure that the team will look at every single one.
Got it.
Let's follow up. You can know for sure that at the end of the month, I will read the full report myself. I mean, it takes a while. Sometimes it's like 15 pages of report of concerns.
So I should be satisfied the fact that the pothole was in fact filled. I mean, this is not a complaint. It's
I mean, I wish we had, I wish staff had the time in between potholes to say, got it, you know, filled it. Hopefully they can give a wave or something, but most likely that would take additional time and it will take away from us filling our potholes.
Okay.
So
Okay. And if I want to send a six pack of beer to the crew, probably not a good idea.
there's a $50 limit on accepting gifts from people, but I will send them some positive reinforcement saying that it's appreciated. And anytime, I mean, look, we want to hear where we're falling down and we need to do better. So please, that you can.
Yeah.
You can,
well, in this case, it was actually a success story.
Yeah. But you could also say, hey, nice job. Sometimes people take the time to say, hey, I really appreciated that police response, or I appreciated that pothole being filled. I think that goes a long way, not for me, but for the staff who do that hard work.
Oh, okay. Well, you make a good point there, that rather than cross my arms and say, well, I never heard back from them, but they did the work, I might actually just take my feelings of gratitude and express them to the team and just say, hey, appreciate it. Much appreciated. You got my potholes.
I always like hearing about that. And you can be sure if I get a specific, this happened to me yesterday. There was a particular police officer who had a very nice letter written to the police chief saying, thank you for what you've done for me and my partner. It was really useful. You were tactful and kind. And the first thing I did is I said, Chief Olson, can I please send, just don't want to steal your fire here, but I'm going to send an email to this officer and pass along my gratitude.
Yeah.
It goes a long way for staff because most of the time they're responding to emergencies and mm-hmm. they're the ones doing the hard work at the end of things. So, don't do it for me. If something actually works out well for you, send it to me so I can make sure the staff are appreciated.
Got it. Okay. Well, we've figured out what to talk about this time. I was not bored, and I forgot to say you are listening to Bureaucracy Now on KPTZ. My co-host, this is Taylor Clark, and my co-host is Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. John,
you were into Bureaucracy Now. I think we're out of time, aren't we?
We are out of time, but I carefully planned that it's a best practice in radio in the middle of the show to remind listeners what they're listening to, and I don't do that, and so people tune in and they go, who are those guys and why are they talking about edge roads?
Edge roads. Yeah, I mean, if you're tuning into KPTZ for the first time, you're in for a treat here. I mean, this is the best local radio station anywhere around.
Oh, well, thank you, John.
Occasionally we forget to do the call signal, but, there you go. You can cover for yourself.
Well, yeah. Okay. So, John, I'll talk to you next Thursday at 12:30, and we will have Emily from the library?
Library, yeah. Yeah,
I will look forward to that.